Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local preacher here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast, 8 to 8:30, on public access channel number 6 on your television, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these periods of worship and Bible study. You'll always be warmly received. It is our only desire to help you see the need for God in your life and to help you understand how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're here to help you in any way we can, endeavor to show you the instruction given in Scripture of how that can be done. If we can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to call us. During this past month, we have been examining patterns of worship in the New Testament. Thus far, we have looked at the Lord's Supper, at giving, and last week we looked at music and worship. Today, we're going to look at teaching. What kind of teaching is done when we come into capacity of worshiping God on the first day of the week, and when we come to worship God, what kind of teaching should we be doing? Well, let me begin this section by looking at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, made this comment in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believeth, for the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, God's power is in his message. And so the most important thing that men need to hear is the gospel. The most important thing that men need to get their mind around and get their heart centered on is the gospel. And when we look in the New Testament, we see that every conversion done in the book of Acts, the very first thing that's done is that man comes in contact with the gospel, with the message of truth. We see in Acts chapter 2, when the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, verse 4, they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they began to preach and to teach God's word for the very first time on that day of Pentecost. And we see at the end of his sermon that those that were gathered there, Peter told them that they had murdered the Son of God, and they had blood on their hands. And they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? But what provoked that question? It says, when they heard this. What is this in verse 37? This is the gospel. The gospel convicted them of their sin. And they asked what they should do. And the answer was given in verse 38. And 3,000 of them obeyed in verse number 41. We can later go next till we see that the conversion of the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans are converted by the preaching of Philip when he preached Christ and the things concerning the kingdom of God. Again, the emphasis is preaching the gospel, preaching the message of truth. We also read later on in Acts chapter 8, the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading from Isaiah 53. And the Bible says that Philip began at that same scripture and he preached Jesus to the eunuch. And they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, what hinders me to be baptized? Now, what provoked that question? What provoked that question, ladies and gentlemen, is the preaching of Jesus. I don't know what's all included in the preaching of Jesus, but I know one thing that's included, baptism, because that's what the eunuch asked to do. And then we see the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who would later become the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. And the Lord appeared to Saul, but did not save him because the Lord appeared to him. He appeared to him because he was going to be a vessel to the Gentiles. He was going to be an apostle. But that didn't save him. He was told to send for Ananias. He was told to go into Damascus, and it would be told to him what he should do. And so Ananias came to Saul, and he taught him words in whereby he could be saved. Peter was sent to the household of Cornelius. He was sent to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And he was sent there with the message of the gospel. And Cornelius and his household believed, and they obeyed and were baptized. We see in Acts chapter 16, we see Lydia Where did Paul preach by the riverside, that her and her household obeyed and believed the preaching of Paul, and they became Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter, or excuse me, in Acts chapter 19, we see the Ephesians burning up their books of magic and repenting and confessing. And after their hearing of the gospel, they repented and they were converted and they obeyed the gospel. But we see that they were preached to first. In every one of these conversions, ladies and gentlemen, we see the Bible preached. The first thing that's taught is the gospel. And then, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 13 says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus." Sound words. What are the pattern of sound words? Sound words are that which is contained in Scripture. And we want to also read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in the first 5 verses. "Charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you would be watchful of all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry." Notice, an evangelist is required by God to preach the word. What does it mean to preach the word? To preach the gospel, to preach the message of truth, to preach the cross. And he's to do it in season and out of season. What does that mean? That means when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. When they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. And we must do it in order that we might exhort them. We might convict them and rebuke them of their sin, that they might repent, that they might turn away from it, and that they might render obedience to God before it's everlasting too late. And we do it because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why? Because they will have their desires to hear different things. Because they will have itching ears. And they'll heap teachers that will teach them things they want to hear. And when they hear those things, they will be turned away from the truth. And they will leave the truth and they will turn their hearts to fables. But what they do is they condemn themselves. So you see, when I preach, I am limited to preach the gospel. I am limited to give people an answer of the hope that lies within me with meekness and fear, and that answer must come from the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, "If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God." That means the teachings of God. That means the sayings of God. And then Jesus, when he was on earth, he rebuked the religious leaders of the day for the things that they taught. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, we read these verses in Acts chapter 15. It says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart are far from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." When we teach the doctrine of men, we lose fellowship with the Father. When we do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, then we no longer have fellowship with the Father and Son. Now, is that my opinion? No, that's what the Scripture says. In 2 John, verse 9. 2 John, verse 9 says, "Whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine and the teachings of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." We are to reject anyone that does not have the gospel. We are not to accept another message. We are to only accept the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the only thing that has the power to save. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, the Apostle Paul would write to the church of Galatia, "I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who would trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Even if an angel came down and gave us a message that was contrary to what the Bible says, we are not to receive it. Why? Because it is not the message of truth. If you study the conversions in the book of Acts, you will see that every conversion and every person that obeyed the gospel, the first thing they came in contact with was the message of truth. Today, preaching has turned into entertainment. We're worried about entertainment. We want to tell stories. We want to spin tales. We want to be a stand-up comedian. We want to talk of generalities. We don't want to make specifics. We don't want to talk about the Bible. We want to talk around the Bible. Why? Because our focus is in the wrong place. You're not going to convert people to Christ unless you teach them His Word. If we're going to worship God correctly and according to His pattern, when we occupy a pulpit, when we teach a class, and we're representing the God that we serve, then we are to be teaching and instructing men in His Word, not in our philosophy, not in our doctrines, not in our opinions, not in our own theology, human religion. We are to teach and admonish people to speak the Word of God. The Word of God is the thing that has power to save. Romans 1:16, we read that in the beginning of this study. There is salvation in no other name, according to Acts 4 and verse 12, except the name of Christ. And we're told if we speak, we ought to speak the oracles of God, the sayings and the teachings of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 11. We are required, it is absolutely of necessity, that when we present ourselves as a messenger of the Lord, that we are teaching His message. Not our message, not our understanding of the message, not our philosophy, not our theories, not our theology, but we are teaching the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the sayings of Christ, the unadulterated, pure, simple, powerful message of the gospel that has the ability and the power to save souls. Sadly today, ladies and gentlemen, churches are filled with people who are not hearing the gospel. They're hearing stories. They're hearing fairy tales. They're hearing humor. They're hearing things that are out of the religion of men. They're listening and following the teachings of men and not the teachings of God. Therefore, they are being led astray. They are being watered down. And their faith is not in God. Their faith is in the men that occupy the pulpit and claim to be messengers of Christ, but are nothing more than false teachers. Why? Because they do not teach the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why you have a mind. That's why you are to have a Bible. You're to open it. You're to examine it. And you're to test the things that you're taught. Read 1 John 4, verse 1. You are not to just take everything you hear, hook, line, and sinker. You need to check it out and make sure that it's in accordance with the Bible. I want to leave you with this scripture. In Acts 17, verse 11, Paul commended these brethren because of their attitude. In Acts 17, 11, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things are so. Ladies and gentlemen, are you searching the scriptures daily? When you come together in the capacity to worship God on the Lord's Day, are you hearing the Bible? Or are you hearing the words of men? Which is it? If you want to follow the Bible pattern, then you must be hearing the gospel, the power of God to save. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next Lord's Day as we'll continue.